Welcome back, everybody. Brand new major championship episode of Three Way Miss. I know it's been a while, boys. I'll take some responsibility. I've been off gallivanting across Europe over the course of the last few weeks, but it's good to see you guys again. And hard to believe we're geared up for the second major of the year.
Yeah, it has been a while, boys. It is great to catch up and the tales of London. I'm sure we may get a story or two at some point, but it sounds like you had a great family trip, Maddie.
Yeah, it was awesome. Sort of one of those trips I think the kids are going to remember for 50 or 60 years, which is a great experience for them to have. And weather was great, so we had a really good time. I know you're going over there. My trip did not involve any golf, but you are going over there with the golf clubs here in another, what, week or so?
I'm leaving Friday, actually. So I'm
Very
pretty excited
nice.
about it. Yeah. So this is the pre, we had this family Scotland trip scheduled, started in
That's
19,
right,
right? And
yeah.
then COVID hit and everything got canceled. And so it seems like it's kind of funny. It's actually happening in a couple of days, but it's been 3 years in the making, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so in some ways it doesn't feel like it's really happening. But you know, when you think of trips of a lifetime, the fact that my wife and I and our two boys are going for a week to Scotland, it's, I mean, we're all pretty excited about it, and it's my favorite place to play golf, so
So where
pretty
are we
cool
playing?
stuff.
What's the
Yeah,
itinerary?
I want the
So
itinerary here. Dornoch, no real US Open, excuse me, no real yeah, no US Open courses in Scotland. I can't
Shocker.
believe it. It's a little different trip, and it was a little harder to schedule because of the whole COVID thing, but we're going to Dornoch, which is my favorite place in the world, for 5 days. I'm going to play all the cool courses up there, which are, you know, Brora, Dornoch, Tain, Goldsby, and then we're going to go down to St. Andrews and play a few courses around there. We had the chance to play the old course, which, you know, having the Open Championship there in what, 2 months, I suppose, from now. But unfortunately, the only way you could play it is by bringing an artificial turf.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you literally, and so for the amount of money that they were asking for to play off an artificial turf at the old course, we just said no. So we're staying right in town. We'll get a great feel and the great vibe, and we'll play a few courses around there. So Dornoch and St. Andrews with the family. Pretty excited.
That's awesome. Who's in charge of translating Scottish? Because it can get
Well,
tricky. It can get a little dicey with those
it's
Scots.
funny. What I found is the more pints, the more understandable. So that's
That's
our
fair.
goal.
That's a fair point. I
That's our
also want to know
goal.
who's in charge of Tommy when he implodes on the golf course. Is it Benny or is it you?
Well, it is going to be, at least it's, we're starting the matches are Ben and Tom versus Mom and Dad.
That was another question.
So that's how it's starting. So I think the answer is it's up to Ben to take care of his partner.
That's a fair point. Brotherly love.
Yep. He got Tom pulled in last night, and the boys came over for dinner, and it was fun to have the
That's
band back
awesome.
together. So good
No, I mean,
stuff.
that's going to be the trip of a lifetime, as you said, with family, the key piece. And then some of those courses you're playing are just, you're going to remember this
Yeah,
for a long time.
no doubt. And Tom's never been. Ben's been once. Amy's been to Dornoch once. But ironically, Amy and I went to Dornoch our first time back in 1994. And we went the first week of November. So it's
Wow.
going to be totally different. You know, in November when we were there, it literally wasn't light until 8 a.m. I mean, it went from pitch black to light, right? And then it was dark, and I say dark at 4. So you literally had 8 hours. This time of year, it's almost completely the opposite. So,
Yeah, you're probably
the
late until
gorse,
almost 10 o'clock in the evening.
right?
And
Gorse is in full bloom.
the gorse is popping,
Absolutely.
right? Yep.
Yeah. So pretty cool stuff.
Well, we
Smitty, so
could
here,
put. Smitty, I got a question here because Oh
you
boy.
said you were worried about your trip to London, or that's what you've been doing. See, I thought you were actually out working on your game based on your score at Candy Woods yesterday.
That's not very nice, DK.
I don't think it was intended to be.
Although that's a good point. I will say that I think I really first thing in the morning here impressed Scott with the fact that I shot 93 and had one penalty stroke and didn't lose a ball. You were impressed by that, weren't you?
I would use the word shocked more than impressed. I mean, the reality is it's
Those are
hard
interchangeable.
to.
Listen, I appreciate the fact that you're owning it. That's key. You're the leader of an organization, right? You're the leader of the New Hampshire golf community. You got to own it. Good Well,
job.
what are my other options? Not start a
Well,
garden?
Duck and cover. Those who are listening will appreciate it, because I knew I looked at the scorecard last night, and TK hadn't looked at it this morning. And so before we started our show, TK says, let me take a peek. And he starts scrolling. And as I used to joke when Jeff Julian was on tour, whether you start from the top and scroll down or start from the bottom and scroll up, when do you find the name quicker? And sure enough, TK started from the top, and it took him a little while.
Okay, he said, I don't see you. And Scott and I both in unison said, keep going. Keep going. I did send a screenshot of my score to our good friend Greg Howell, who I was playing with on Sunday in the spring four ball, and said, Greg, you're in good hands on Sunday. So his response was simply, get that handicap up.
So is that at Keene? Where is that this year?
Yeah, down at Keene.
Yep. Nice. So lefty's coming in?
He is. It's always an adventure when we team up. It's either halfway decent or it's god awful, because in an alternate shot event, we once made a 13 together. Hmm. So there's that.
Well, you talked about shock, Scotty. I'm pretty shocked.
Well, he's seen the two golf swings, so I think he can understand how that could happen.
I've played with them both.
So speaking of lefties, as much as we want to get into the PGA, I think we have to start with the most notable absence from Southern Hills this week, and the story that just won't seem to go away. And that is Phil. I believe the book came out yesterday, correct?
Yes.
And intertwined with all of this nonsense with Phil is the fact that, gosh, when we talked, I don't know, a couple months ago, it sure seemed like LIV Golf was DOA, and now we have players that are committed to it and have petitioned the PGA.
Well, isn't it still unclear who's committed? I mean, we obviously know it's the Westwood kind of thing, but isn't it interesting that we still don't really know the players who are committed? At least I don't.
Well, you're certainly getting a lot of evasive answers. Ricky Fowler being
that one blew me away. We got to talk about that one, because yep. I mean, that one. Nobody has made more by doing less on the PGA Tour than Ricky Fowler.
Correct.
And the fact that all of a sudden he's throwing out that I haven't made a decision. And generally speaking, when somebody says I haven't made a decision, guess what? They've made a decision.
Also, you can't make a cut either, buddy. Forget about a decision.
And so that was my next comment. Is there not a direct correlation to where his game is, where his status on the tour is, and now all of a sudden this Saudi option? And I that one would blow me away, although he certainly was implying that he was in. I don't know if you guys interpreted it the same way as I did.
Sounds like it. So TK I was
shocked that he actually engaged in the question, to be honest with you, because typically he's seemed like a pretty aware guy, right? And Scotty, you just recapped it perfectly. He has made so much money from sponsors and just being engaged in the game without really winning. He's won a few times, lower level tournaments, but.
I mean, he did win a Players. We'll give him that as well.
He won the Players. You're right. He won the Players. So, but the point is, like, Ricky, you've always been aware. What are you doing going down that road? You've seen what happens when people have gone down that road. And Scotty, to your point, if he's already made the decision, then just go all the way down the road.
Right.
Yep.
You know.
Do you think there's a chance he'd be doing this if he was still playing, you know, good golf and he was still top 50 in the world?
No chance.
Zero chance.
I agree. And you know, there's that lack of transparency that I think is going to bite him in the butt as well, is that people see through that. You know, to use this, you know, I've grown up my whole life, it's always been about competition. I'm like, give me a friggin' break. That's not what you're talking about. It's like, you need money, you need a place to play.
Well, you got to give Westwood credit in some regard. I mean, he said, this is my job.
Yes.
My job is to make money doing my job. That's basically why I'm doing it. And I understand that the difficulty comes with the follow-up of, don't you have an issue with where the money is coming from? And that's where things start to get murky. But at least Westwood was honest about that part of it.
I totally agree. And I think... And he hasn't, he's actually kind of stayed a little bit away from kind of the road Norman and Phil have gone down of like justifying, you know, the background behind this entire thing, right?
Well, does Norman have a PR company? Because his justification It was
if he does, he should fire them. Let's start with that, because there's been nobody has been a worse spokesperson for an entity than Greg Norman.
I can't believe they continue to trot him out, and he gives these god awful answers when he should. I mean, just avoid the question. You know, have your generic. I'm interested in growing golf, and this we want to create competition between the two. Whatever. Even though, you know,
it's the growing garbage. Golf thing drives me nuts. It's such a crock. This has nothing to do with growing the game. And the fact they keep using that, I find, is just so disingenuous.
So, TK, I stepped on you there. Sorry.
No, I think we're all talking. We're all on the same page here. When you hear these people that kind of bob and weave around, like, maybe I'll go and it's okay, it just doesn't make any sense. I got to be honest with you. Jack Nicklaus, we obviously saw the comments the other night when maybe he was one of the first guys they tried to hook in to kind of be the face of the franchise, so to speak, for, you know, $100 million, just ungodly sums of money. And then even he kind of steps in a little bit of some holes. It's like, I don't, sometimes some of these guys, to your point of PR companies or, you know, the agents that they have, what are we doing? Like, this is a hole that nobody gets out of once they start talking about it. It's just...
So,
where does Phil go from here? When do we see Phil? Do we see Phil in London? Is that when we're really going to see Phil? Do we think Phil's actually pocketed so much money that he's fully committed to this thing and that we're going to see him in London? That's going to be his first sighting. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know. It's so hard to know what's actually happening that's not golf related. When you look at the information that's come out about the gambling debts and the 40 million that he's in the hole and his very.
So let's update that. But 40 million, that was 2011 through 14, right? That's 8 years. It certainly implies to me like there's a whole lot more money that was lost than just the 40 million they keep referencing, because that was 8 years ago. And we know that he didn't stop betting in the last.
Scotty, all gamblers just cut cold turkey. You didn't know that?
Well, and you got I think we've hinted at the rumors that Amy supposedly has a gambling Jones as well. So I you know, that's all the behind the scenes stuff when he's in. It's hard to take anything now that he says it at face value is. And I think 10 years ago, we used to, you know, we took Phil at his word, right? He was candid and you sort of believed everything he said. And it's, you have a harder time doing that now, knowing that there's all this stuff happening behind the scenes. So I think the easy thing would say to be, yeah, he's going to show up in London and play. But if his personal life and financial life is as big of a mess as it kind of seems like it is, you'd think golf would be the last thing on his mind. And now you're seeing reports on Twitter, which, again, huge grain of salt, but that he can't hardly break 80 right now.
I love that stuff. It was just such this next undertone of the conversation. He's posting 77s on Munis in San Diego. Mm-hmm.
Well, and maybe that's really why he's not playing too, right? I mean, that, you know, but
even if he wasn't playing, imagine the coronation he would have had this week at Southern Hills, right?
No doubt.
After the peak of last year, one of the greatest, you know, major championship triumphs ever, and he's not there. What a shame. What a shame for him, and what a shame for golf.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you can't even imagine how he got here, right? I mean, I just, you know, for the smartest guy in the room to be in this position, it's just, it's baffling. I'm utterly baffled.
I will tell you, our boy Rich Beam is not going to be happy with me because I might have to buy this book. I don't know.
I already did.
I gotta read it.
I absolutely gotta read it.
You know, in life now, it seems like everything, it doesn't matter the issue, you have to be on one side or the other. And with all of this, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, my opinion of Phil has completely changed. But I think
were you a Phil guy?
I was probably, you know, 2004, 2005. I was happy when he won his first major. You know, you heard the fig jam stuff, but I think it was kind of like all these guys have egos, right? They all think they're the best. You have to think you're the best if you want to win. Now I just think he's a wackadoo, but I think Shipnuck to me is off-putting. This is about, And I know social media is a cesspool, but man, does this guy make it all about him. It seems to me that this is, Phil is a vehicle for him to advance his profile and his career. And I don't know.
I told you, right. That when I had that conversation with Wally Uline, he said that, Shipnuck is the TMZ of golf writers, that he's all about, you know,
scandal and
right. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
It's just
so it needs to be taken with a grain of salt.
I agree. It's kind of gross to me a little bit the way that he's handled himself over the last few weeks about this.
Well, he's benefiting off of somebody else's, you know, demise.
Right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And the funny thing is, when he's been on, getting interviewed the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, he spins that the exact opposite way. Right. You can kind of read through it. You can see through it. And he just spins it and be like, no, I just was trying to tell the story. This is really kind of, there's a lot of pro Phil in it. Give me a break.
Oh yeah. It's always, I still love Phil. I think Phil's, you know, great. And it's like, okay, well look, he's done a lot of this to himself, certainly, but man, you're kicking a guy when he's down. So I don't know. There's just that part of it to me that I don't think anybody comes out of this looking great.
I love the fact, and then on the cover when it says, and unauthorized, right? And then knowing Rich and knowing the stories he told, I was like, God, does this just fit the bill?
Totally. Yep. Totally. But, you know, as sad as it is that Phil's not in the event, I'm equally as disappointed that this topic is still, you know, front and center.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as to your point, Matt, it did seem like it was DOA a couple months ago, but it's clearly not. I mean, it's clearly not. And you know what? Money has it provides staying power, and they've got the money. And so yeah. I think this.
So did did Norman call the tour's bluff here?
Yeah, I think Norman can't wait. Norman can't wait to get into litigation. I think he wants. Yeah. Did you see Wayne Grady's quote, by the way?
I did.
So yes. Wayne Grady won the PGA and I'm going to say 87 at Shoal Creek or something like that. Anyway, who's an Aussie, who's a peer, major winner, all that kind of stuff. Just absolutely blasted Norman. I mean, like, blasted Norman. And that speaks volumes to me, you know. Kerry Webb just recently blasted Norman. And this is all about Greg and his ego and his vendetta. To me, that's what this is for him.
So do we think, would this be any different if he wasn't involved? Where the money was coming from was different in the sense that competition for the tour would be a good thing, that it could enhance the product, that it could grow the pool of players that are out there that are looking for exposure? Or do we all just feel like this is so icky because it's Norman and his ego and he's just an ass, and the fact that it's the Saudis who are backing it? Because, you know, it's there's just so many layers to this, and it seems like the tour has responded and said, you know, there's not necessarily much we can do if these guys decide as independent contractors that they want to go play other places other than try to enforce rules, which we're going to get sued for trying to say are actual rules they have to follow. So, you know, is there an outcome where this is actually good for golf, I guess, is the question I'm trying to ask.
Well, and it's a great question. And I think that, you know, obviously the secondary layer in terms of, competing golf leagues is obviously PGL, right? And that has a different perspective on it. But, you know, what you're asking, we kind of addressed a couple of shows ago, but can it grow the game? Can it lift? You know, rising tide lifts all boats. That might not be the right quote for LIV league, but, you know, yeah, you've got to think differently. You've got to do things differently, right? And so the LIV is just so dirty that it hasn't allowed you to say, hey, how can the PGA Tour grow? How can we do things different? The players obviously have some issues with certain things that are going on. I never thought it was money related. You know, that was my takeaway. I never thought it was money related. I think they didn't like the structure, maybe the length of the season, a lot of things like that. So I think that there surely can be improvements made. And I think we've talked about some of that stuff, but I think that,
do you think it's money related now?
It all depends, right? It depends if we're talking about the top half or the bottom half. And I think if it's talking about the bottom half, then I think it potentially is money related. The top half, I don't know that it's money related.
Well, it isn't money related because they said no, because they don't need the money.
Right.
I mean, the Rickies, the Lee Westwoods, the Poulters, the Robert Garrigus.
I was going to say old Bob Garrigus. He wants some cash.
I think it's clearly about money. You know, so I sort of think it in two ways. I think on the one hand, the PGA Tour has made some changes since this all reared its head 6, 12, 18 months ago. So there's an argument that you can make that competition has fueled some degrees of change and there's more monies and there's more listening. But as a consumer, have you guys ever felt like we need another tour? Have you ever felt like, boy, we need some more events to, I mean, if anything, I'd almost argue the opposite. That there's,
well, that's there's what I mean when I'm talking about
many events,
right? Yeah,
like right. And so we have the World Golf Championship, we have majors, we have more than enough big events. We have more. So I've never felt as a consumer the need for another tour. Now, you know, when you're in business, you try and find a niche, you know, in the marketplace, and maybe the niche is that the 40 to 50 age bracket, you know, maybe it should, there's a place for a tour like that. But I guess, I speak as a consumer and a businessman. I don't see the need. I don't see the clamoring and I don't for a new tour. I don't see the demand for it. And the only people who are truly interested are people who aren't playing well or at an age where they're in between tours. I don't know. I just don't quite see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you've got, and I think all three of us are self-proclaimed golf dorks. I mean, I'll watch a Korn Ferry Tour event. I'll watch a Champions Tour event. Am I going to throw on YouTube and watch the first live event to see them all taken out to their holes in the black London cabs?
By the way, I mean, how that's something I don't that? Think we've talked about. And I don't think people, I mean, it's a frigging shotgun.
I know, right?
It's a three-round tournament with a shotgun start, and they're wearing team jerseys because they're four. I mean, I don't think people even realize the circus of what these events are really going to be.
No, it'll be great when two guys hole out on opposite sides of the golf course and have no idea who's actually won the golf tournament yet. It's bizarre. And, you know, they don't have a TV deal, so the stuff will be on.
Isn't that YouTube. Doesn't that say everything? That says
it says a lot.
It says it all. In terms of Scotty, is there a desire for another tour from a consumer perspective? There's no TV deal. TV views it as no, there is no, consumer doesn't need this. They're going to have to go find it. Matt, you said YouTube. I don't even know where it's going to be broadcast, right?
I think it is going to be on YouTube. And you look at who has TV deals. The USFL, the XFL, which is coming back, has a TV deal. Not to get too off the beaten path from sports we talk about. I know Premier League Lacrosse just signed a new TV deal with, I think, ESPN or CBS or something like that. So it's not like the networks aren't looking for content. That's all people want is content, right? And yet this particular product, they've all presumably said no to. So they've got to go to a free product in YouTube, and that's where they're going to broadcast this.
It's untouchable though, right? For sponsors, it's untouchable. For most players who aren't in need, it's untouchable. It's not a place where, you know, you want to hang your hat on from a business standpoint. So, you know, look at the Saudi issue is huge. I think Greg Norman's a complete disaster. The fact that he's still their spokesperson blows me away. You know, they've stepped on themselves every step of the way, and I'm not sure how they dig out of it.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. When is that event scheduled for when? Next month?
The yeah, London middle event? Of
early, June. Early June, yes. Early mid-June. Now, I want to say one more thing about the money piece of it, because just, you know, when you guys listed off the four people that have kind of, or whatever it is, half a dozen people that have said they're going, they can't win any money over here anymore. For the most part, right?
That's,
I mean, maybe Lee Westwood had a nice little run last year, right? But they can't win any money. So that, to me, it's not about, like, if you're still winning money over here, that's why it's not about the money. If you don't have any more money coming in your pocket, then it's about the money.
Well, I mean, did Tiger not just make it loud and clear about and that it, that basically you're there with Tiger or against Tiger.
Yeah,
Tiger is totally pro PGA Tour. He's about history. He's about tradition. He's about legacy. He made it very clear again. In fact, I was surprised how much he commented on yesterday.
I was too, and there was almost like an there was a Phil undertone to that. You know what I mean?
Oh, there was a very strong undertone.
It was, I was shocked too, because he's kind of just disregarded the whole Phil thing. You know what I mean? It was way more.
Well, he rarely gets involved or takes a stance on stuff like this. So
he's like Michael Jordan, right?
Is there a level of Phil got to play the family man who was imminently likable by everyone while Tiger was going through everything? And it turns out maybe Phil isn't as squeaky clean as everybody thought he was.
Well, again, as I've said for a while, the worst is still yet to come. I still believe it. I still believe this next book is going to be damning. And I'm still convinced that there's going to be a betting on golf situation that may rear its head. I don't know. I'm simply a guess. But anyway, it
breaking news, three-way miss podcast. Phil bets on golf.
But you know, the reality is that I kind of felt like Tiger said, either you're with me or you're against me, and who's going to want to choose Phil over Tiger?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
So I think a good way to leave this is if we get done with the podcast and my phone rings and Live Golf would like to offer three-way miss the opportunity to be the official podcast of the Live Golf Tour for $25 million a man, would we do it?
Okay.
Sounds like it might be a two-man show, TK.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out.
Oh my god.
Oh well, I don't think that call is gonna come. If they listen to the first half of this show, I doubt that call is.
That's why I can say okay, because it's not coming.
Well, speaking of Tiger, we do have Tiger playing in another major championship this week at Southern Hills in Tulsa. You know, it still feels like we're getting used to this whole PGA, at least for me, the PGA being a month after the Masters, which is great because normally you had to wait until the U.S. Open. But a lot of intrigue this week, a lot of intrigue with the golf course, a lot of intrigue with Tiger and some of the other top players in the world, a lot of intrigue with $18 beers in the concession areas as well.
Yeah, and it's a Michelob Ultra.
Yeah. Hey, it's 20 ounces though.
Honestly, Matty, you described the cesspool of Twitter on that. I mean, I guarantee it's a 25 ounce can, which would equate to any venue you go to around here for a 16 ounce or something. That's, you know,
probably true.
And by the way, I also read that grounds tickets include food and non-alcoholic beverages. So, I don't know what that means in terms of what you get for food. But I think in fairness to the PGA of America, it should be said, if they're offering people food and, you know, water with their paid ticket, then asking them to pay whatever that price is for a beer doesn't seem as unreasonable. But anyway.
So, Matty, I thought of you as I was looking at the course setup. No, this is more of an administrative running a tournament sort of perspective. And I sort of was looking at it because they've created some interesting shots that you're like literally hitting over hitting over greens and hitting over. And I was laughing to myself thinking, what if the NHGA had this type of layout for a qualifier? How many people would be hit by golf balls?
We'd have a helmet sponsor.
We'd have a waiver on the first tee that if you get sniped by somebody, you're not going to.
Like, sue. They're literally, the layout is very, you know, obviously they're restrained by the length of the course, and they've been, Gil Hance came in and was very creative and adding length and things, but wow, I've never really seen this creative.
I think it looks great. Yeah. I think, have you seen that image of 9 and 18 green, 1 and 10 tee that kind of just like shoot over one another? I mean, it is, I think it's crazy.
It's gonna help me. It's got to slow down play, right?
I was thinking the same thing. I don't know. You know,
I think it will. And in a major in particular, I think it's gonna slow down play. So the golf course, I think the redesign, Scott, you brought it up, would be interesting. 7,600 yards. You know, I've heard some, there's going to be some challenges on the green complexes, that they are extremely slopy and undulated. And if the greens are too fast, you could have some issues there and you're kind of limiting yourself with hole locations. So, I think the weather will be an issue. You know, now we're seeing a major championship at this golf course that used to be held in August, and you're going to have a different wind now in May, and you're going to have different weather. Sounds like it's going to be warm the first couple of days and then cool off significantly. Yeah, so
interesting little 91 degree start to, you know, an early, like probably low 50s on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. I think, you know, what you're seeing on social media too is, I think, really a mixed bag of what type of player this golf course suits. I think you're hearing a lot about strokes gained off the tee, which bodes well for someone. I think we all know who we're talking about. But I, you know, I think you obviously also have to be a really good iron player. By the way, Scott's still laughing.
Of course he's laughing, because how the hell is that
guy? We know we're getting to Rory at some point.
The guy's a favorite for the PGA. He hasn't won a major in almost eight years.
All right. So here's a question for you, because tell me that pairing of Rory, Jordan, Tiger isn't like,
yeah, who implodes? Charts, who implodes in that group?
But I heard a point made and I thought it was interesting, because Rory clearly struggles in the first round in majors, and then he seems to find his groove, right? Will this pairing help or hurt that situation? My gut says, I think it's going to help him. I think he's going to be ready to go for a shot because it's Tiger, because it's Jordan. Now, I could be 100% wrong, but my instinct is this pairing might help Rory.
Matty McIlroy, what do you think?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, he's a guy who feeds off the energy of the crowd. You have three incredibly likable players that everybody in the gallery will be rooting for. So in some way, maybe it's what he needs. He needs that jolt of adrenaline from the word go. On what is it? Do they tee off tomorrow morning, I think, off the back? Maybe that's what he actually needs to get himself going, because there's no doubt he fed off it on Sunday at Augusta. And he's admitted that he feeds off of it. We've seen him in Ryder Cups, and he was very public with comments that when fans weren't there, he struggled a little bit, because he needs that, some of that energy and enthusiasm from the crowd. So we talked a lot with him about, I feel like, very comfortable pairings where he gets put with a Matty Fitzpatrick or somebody that's been a Ryder Cup teammate. But this is, it sort of seems like it's going to be a circus, and it is, but maybe that's a good thing for him. Or maybe he just needs to pull his head out of his ass and play better on Thursday.
Interesting stat about this golf course, which I'm sure you guys saw, but allow me. So there have been 7 major championships played at Southern Hills. 5 of those 7 winners were leading after round 1. The other 2 winners were leading after round 2. So of the 7 major championships, the leader after 36 holes won the tournament every single time. 5 of the times, leader after the first round won the tournament. And I'm, you know, it's funny. I was trying to think, well, how does that make sense? Why is that? And I'm not sure I know the answer, other than, you know, perhaps it's a course that's hard to come back on, I guess, is all I can think of. But it's very interesting. And it certainly suggests, if history holds true, that round 1 and round 2 are probably as important, if not more so, at this venue than almost anyone we've seen.
That's interesting, Scotty. I actually was literally looking at those lines. I hadn't heard that complete stat. So that's a great stat. So winner in the final pairing is minus 250. And then wire to wire winner is plus 1400. I mean, those are relevant. Those normally are just like throwaway bets.
Totally. I would tell you that maybe not on this course.
I know. I mean, that's really a relevant stat.
Wire to wire.
That is a relevant stat.
Right. So,
yeah,
and I don't know what that means. I mean, what do you guys think that means relative? I mean, is it a fluke? But it's 7 out of 7 doesn't seem like it's a fluke.
Also, does the course renovation potentially change that?
Fair.
Yeah. You know, I don't
probably
know.
But
just because, you know, they were talking about the green complexes are now pretty dynamic.
Sure.
You know, so they're saying short games at a premium coming into this week. So I don't know if that, you know, I'm not sure.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the 07 PGA, you know, Tiger won it because he shot 63 on Friday. Outside of that, it was fairly pedestrian, 71, 69, 69. So that is really interesting, Scott. That would definitely be something to watch.
I think what does it mean?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I can't quite figure out what that means. Is a course that you can't come back on is all I can come up with, but I'm not sure why that makes any sense.
No, yeah. Scotty, you're spot on, because if people are tossing 63s up there, then it can be done, right? Sure. So why couldn't you come back? It's totally great.
Yeah. So
that's a good nugget. And I like that TK threw the betting nugget in there too.
There you go. Normally those are kind of like fun.
They're okay. There are probably some consistencies we found that we have Matty McIlroy, we have Jordan Peters, and we have Jimmy the Greek Vegas guy with all the bets. I mean, that's sort of, I think we've solidified, you know, who we are at this point.
So have you just tipped your hand for your pick, by the way?
I did. All depends what pick of he course. Gets. He might not get him.
So what are our expectations for Scheffler? You know, it's still, for whatever reason, it sort of seems like he's still flying under the radar a little bit. You're hearing about Jordan.
Well, his quote yesterday is like, you're number one in the world. You won the Masters. He goes, it doesn't really matter because Tiger's here.
Because Tiger's here, right? He gets it, doesn't he?
He plays it off so well. You know, his demeanor and his delivery and just the way he is going about his game right now is just, it's part of the run he's on.
How can you not consider Scheffler one of the, I'll throw out the number five players to beat? I mean, how can he not be?
Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, short game, check. I mean, how can he not be?
Unflappable. You know, nothing bothers him. So, and you need that. Obviously, we've talked about him. But what are the expectations for Tiger? You know, you still see him limping out there when he's walking around. Not an easy walk, it doesn't appear. Especially you throw the heat in there the first couple days. Swing looks great. From what we've seen, the swing still looks like it's on point. But I certainly don't think he's in any condition to be contending for a major championship to this point. Do we expect something similar to what we saw at Augusta? Obviously, the putter let him down there significantly on the weekend. But any reason to believe that he actually might be sniffing around on Saturday or Sunday, other than the fact that he's the greatest golfer of all time, obviously?
Second best. So,
quick nine.
his tone, his confidence is, I think, much stronger, better, and convincing than it was at Augusta. So I actually think, and you know, I may have referenced this before, and I'm sure our mutual friend Jakey Obar is probably going to be listening, but I made a bet a few years back. This is pre his Masters win, probably when he's still injured, probably in 18 or so. And nobody's a bigger fanboy of Tiger than Jake. He's like, he's going to win majors. He's going to win. I'm like, he's not going to win anymore. Just stop. Jake, I'll bet you. I said, fine. He'll win at least two more majors. I said, no chance, $100. I mean, I thought that was as layup of a bet as I could make. This is when he was hurt. He wasn't playing. He wasn't, you know, I am convinced he's going to win another major in his career, at least one more major in his career. And it would not shock me. Probably not this week. But I am fully convinced that Tiger is going to win another major, and I'm going to have to pay Jake $100. I give him more credit, give Tiger more credit and more of an opportunity to succeed maybe than you do, Matt. I'm not sure it's this week. But boy, the old course at St. Andrews sure looks like a place where Tiger.
Well, and you want to talk about confidence. You're going to have to imagine that, assuming he doesn't have any health setbacks, he's going to be extremely confident showing up there. We talked about the ease of walking the golf course. So he'll be able to take his time, not a lot of up down at all out there. But I've been surprised too by the comeback. The swing has looked good. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think there's certainly limitations there with his health. I mean, he admitted, what did I read this week? He talked about how he simply can't practice putting the way he used to, where he'd stand out there for hours practicing because he can't do it with his back anymore. So there are challenges, but man, is he a guy that seems to have adapted to all of these different challenges that he's faced.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so here's the thing. I don't think he contends on Sunday. I think that was your initial question. I think that what we say is it a make cut? Is he making the cut? Or is he missing the cut?
Make.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't be as confident in him making the cut as I was at Augusta, but I would still bet that he makes the cut.
Yeah.
And why do you say that, Matt? I'm curious as to why you'd say that. There's a course that he's won a major at. He's clearly bigger, stronger, and more healthy than he was at Augusta.
Yeah, I mean, the major was 15 years ago. It's a different golf course. And I just think nobody, especially when Phil's not playing, nobody knows Augusta better than he does. He knows every little nook and cranny in there, and he loves that place. So if this was the same golf course as it was in 2007, maybe I'd be putting a little more stock in it, but it's a different golf course than it was. So and that's not to, obviously he's won a major. He likes the golf course. And he's one of those self-proclaimed horses for courses, right? You know, when you're going to perform well, when you like the golf course. But I think it's just because I think he likes and knows Augusta a little bit better than he does here. That's the only reason I say it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, everybody's saying he is striping the ball right now, you know, and all his stats look pretty good. I do want to talk about this one little spinoff, which I think is just so hilarious. So Tiger goes there, obviously, you know, a couple weeks ago, everybody saw it on social. He was getting the VIP treatment, as he should, right? And then you got Patrick Reed's wife and her burner account just absolutely crying that Patrick can't get a yardage book. It is so good. It is so good.
You get what you deserve in life.
It is unbelievable. Those two can't get out of their own way.
Oh, they are insufferable. Do we know that it's actually Justine? Because I saw something that it might actually be his father-in-law who runs that account, not her.
I don't know, but I'm going to go with Justine because it's a way.
Regardless, it's hilarious seeing that account get dragged whenever they post.
It's unbelievable. It
is very funny.
Yeah. It's just, Twitter cesspool. You said it right there.
Yeah. He certainly doesn't make it easy, does he?
And guess what? He'll be somewhere near the leaderboard this weekend. It's just the guy competes in big events.
God, painful. Oh, I think his tee to green game is not what it used to be, which is, I think, ultimately been his challenge.
Yeah.
So I think we do need to talk about Jordan. The roller coaster kind of continues, but a good performance last week. Had a golf course where, TK, you made the point, a lot of focus on being able to be creative around the greens, get up and down, save par. Something Jordan has a lot of is that creativity. So do we buy into, again, the roller coaster of what Spieth has been for the last few years? And can he turn that good performance last week into potentially contending for a major championship?
Oh. TK, you want me to chime in first?
I mean, how can we not give you a floor to open up?
You referenced last week. I think you failed to mention that the tournament he played in before last week, he won. So he's coming off a win and shoots 25 under last week to lose by a shot. I got to tell you, I think this is, you know, it's funny. Jordan has said in the past that he doesn't think he can win a PGA because they don't fit him or whatever the case may be. I think this thing is ripe for Jordan Spieth. I think he's playing well. I think his short game and wedges are second to none. I get the whole putting thing, although it still baffles me because I've always considered him a good putter. But if you look at the stats, I think he looked it up. He's well down the list in putting. He's starting to look at the hole now with the short one. So there's reason for concern. But I think tee to green, he hasn't ever been better in many respects. And he's got a wedge second to none. So I think this screams Jordan Spieth this week. I really do.
Is it amazing with the move he's been working on for how long? Does it go back 12 months or is it like the last?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good point. But doesn't it look more natural now, though?
It is just
the actual swing part.
Yeah, exactly. A unique move that, like, the pre-shot routine is so
very strange. Yeah.
And it's like, what's he doing? How's he going to hit the ball? And then he kind of like his last practice swing, and then he's hitting the ball. There's no weight. It's a very unique pre-shot routine that, you know, I haven't seen anybody else doing that.
But he seems to have his club in a better place, right? I think the pre-shot routine looks funky, but to me, the swing looks really good right now. And more than that, you can see he's confident. He's expecting good shots.
No, I totally agree. And I think the correlation is amazing between teachers who find like just something unique for that golfer and say, okay, I got to get you here on the practice swing in the pre-shot, because then it gets you in the slot for your swing. I mean, I think it's amazing.
Can you imagine going out with your buddies and doing that? I mean,
no.
it reminds me
90 of 90 degrees, right?
It reminds me of like if you, for example, putted right-handed your whole life and then showed up with your buddies and started putting
left-handed. That's impossible. Nobody would ever do that.
No,
inconceivable.
Only fools try that.
But I mean, you know, there's got to be a degree of, I don't care what people think. I have to do this to succeed with Jordan. And I think in the long run, he's as awkward and as strange and as silly as it looked. I think it's starting to pay off.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we as golfers, we don't care what it looks like if it works. And quite frankly, nobody else does, right? You know, you see somebody doing something that works, you see an awkward or a move that's different. And, you know, the first thing I think we do as golfers, we start thinking about, is that something I could do? Could that actually work for me? And it sure seems like he it's working for him. The confidence is sky high. I think you have to like his chances this week.
Absolutely. And the fact that there's only been 5 winners of the Grand Slam career Grand Slam is just, for all the greats that have won, multiple majors, that's an amazing stat. And he's right there on the cusp of it, you know?
Yeah. And to win this week, to become the 6th, that's off the chart stuff. And what is he, 20? Yes. I don't even know. What is he, 27 or 8? I mean, to do that. I mean, I just think it was a very real chance. In fact, here's a question for Matty McIlroy. Do you think Jordan winning the PGA or Rory winning at Augusta? Do you think either one of them ever happens? And if so, who does it first?
So by the way, Jordan's 28.
So imagine if he won this week, he'd have the career Grand Slam by 28.
Yeah. Before he's 30, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I think honestly right now, I think you'd have to bet on Jordan winning the PGA before Rory wins at Augusta, if he ever does. You know, the clock is ticking there, and as great as he played on Sunday, in a lot of ways, it's disappointing that he ran up against the guy who is playing out of this world right now and was in complete control from the word go and Scheffler. But I think that speaks to the difficulty Rory's going to have, is the players are going to continue to get better. And when it almost seems like Jordan is a little more at peace. You know what I mean? A little bit with, if I never win a PGA, I never win a PGA. And Rory has spoken candidly about, I think we all know, if he could trade, you know, 3 of them for 1 green jacket, I think he'd do it, because it is always meant so much to him. And I think that's the hard thing for Rory, is that is he ever going to show up on Thursday and put all of that out of his mind and just go play for 4 days? Because if he could, I think he'd have multiple by now, but he doesn't seem to be able to do that. So I'd put my money on Jordan winning a PGA. He's so young and so talented that even through some of the valleys that he's had, I think everybody always knew he was going to get back to the Jordan we saw that was so dominant.
Yeah, I think you ask a great question. Honestly, would any great golfer or any golf fan like us, wouldn't we all trade it for a green jacket? One of the championships?
Would PGA I trade my 93 yesterday for a green jacket? You're damn right I would.
Of course. But honestly,
absolutely.
Right? So is the U.S. Open, maybe you could have an argument for some people, right? I don't think anybody's trading a PGA championship for a Masters jacket. I think that's close to 100% across the board. Do you guys agree?
I do. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So here's a question, Riley. I was thinking as you were answering, Matt. is it an advantage or a disadvantage that Jordan, who needs to win a PGA to fill out the career Grand Slam for him, is it that the PGA goes to a different course? And that Rory, who needs the Masters to get his career Grand Slam, doesn't. And I sort of was thinking about it as you were answering. And in some ways, you know, if Augusta doesn't fit you and match, you know, for whatever reason, isn't a good fit for you, then that's a terrible situation. And yet at the same time, Jordan's always said he doesn't think he'll win a PGA because it doesn't fit his game. And so it's interesting that Jordan's quest is going to be at a different course all the time. And Rory's quest, whether it's good or bad, I'm not sure, is going to always be at Augusta National.
Well, is it possible for Rory to step up on the 10th tee and not think about what happened when he was headed to the back nine on Sunday with the lead? I mean, maybe now it is because his life has changed so much, but we all have good memories and bad memories at golf courses. And
you're spot on.
I don't ever forget that. I don't forget.
He's still a human. And yeah. I think that's a great point, Scott. Is in some ways, I think that's an advantage for Jordan because he can look at the schedule out for PGAs and say, you know what, I hate that golf course. I know it's not going to happen there, but maybe the next year it's some place that he's really comfortable with. And he can sort of focus his energy on, yeah, that's where I really feel like I can contend. That's
well, he doesn't have any baggage too, right? I mean, Rory's exactly. got that baggage, yeah, whereas Jordan wouldn't.
And I think the other thing with Jordan is he's such a hot, cold player, right? And right now he's hot. Or typically over the course of time, when he gets hot, right? And then he kind of drifts a little bit. He is hot right now. So
and he knows how to win. He's a closer. Yeah, Jordan's a closer. Really Rory, I'm not sure he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's – I mean – Rory's got to think about that walk up 18 on Sunday and how that would, you know, really put it all together for him. Whereas Jordan can think about a walk up 18th hole on a golf course yet to be determined to finish his career Grand Slam. So I definitely think it's in that regard, it's harder for Rory. So before we get to picks, anybody that we're not talking about here, I mean, I know we haven't talked about a lot of players, but your Jon Rahms, your well, Cantlays.
He just beat me to it. I'm actually surprised how little. Jon Rahm is number one in the world, strokes gained tee to green.
Yep.
He's 108th in putting. Jon Rahm is a major waiting to happen. I mean, it seems like almost all the time. He's playing really, really well. I don't think he's a bad putter. I don't think he's putting well. I'm just surprised how little talk there's been about. Now, again, with the Tigers and the Phils and the Schefflers and all this other stuff going on, I get it. But Jon Rahm has not been talked about much. And when you're the number one player in the world, tee to green, you got to be worried about that guy.
Yep.
That's how good the game of golf is right now, right? Storylines and players. We're not talking about Jon Rahm. Right. That's how good it is. Right. One other, you know, how about JT, right? Who we all think is also kind of majors should be coming to him. He's on a little bit of he hasn't played great in the major events in the last.
To the contrary, I think he's played poorly in the major events.
Yeah. You're right. So not great was, I was trying to be nice to him, but you're right. He has played poorly. In the
for
majors.
Somebody of his ability, he's played poorly. And, you know, I worry that he doesn't close as well as he should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talent, dripping with talent. Is there weakness? Not that I know of. Maybe it's his putting a little bit. Well, but
third in strokes gained tee to green in 2021-22. He's 82nd in putting.
So, if there's a weakness, it's probably that. But you know, stats are one thing. Can you finish?
Yeah.
Can you finish? And it seems like a lot of times JT makes a mistake somewhere that doesn't allow him to complete that great round.
I mean, it goes back to just a bunch of these young players. Like when JT won in 2017, didn't we think, I mean, we thought there was a couple 100%. More that were
going to come. Yep.
You know,
absolutely. 100%. Hey, but aren't we glad Bryson's getting a second chance? Everybody deserves second chances. God, what
anybody ever healed from hand surgery faster?
What a tool.
Just so you know, I broke my hamate bone in 2005. When I watched Bryson yesterday, I turned to him and said, are you friggin' kidding me? What is that? The hamate is a little hook bone in your, and there, it has no value whatsoever. And when it breaks, you take it out. There's no fixing. You just take out the broken little hook. So it's really, to me, when you say broken hand, it's not what I consider a broken hand. It's a small little bone that you remove that doesn't have to heal, at least in my experience. And so wearing whatever he's wearing at his left, he's such a drama boy. I mean, I don't
see
it just adds to my dislike of Bryson.
I didn't know Scotty was a doctor. I just got like a little bit of, I got a lesson right there. This is good.
When I broke my hamate, it took forever to figure out what it was. Once we figured it out, you have surgery, you get it taken out in 4 to 6 weeks, you're fine. And the only discomfort is just allowing it to heal, but there's no real bone that has to heal. And so now, again, I don't know exactly Bryson's situation as far as that, but I'm assuming it's similar in the sense of it's a hamate bone that breaks. So you take it out and you're ready to go. And wearing that, whatever he's wearing, sleeve on his left hand, it just says, hey, look at me, you know, hey, look at me.
Well, don't we all have the reaction that Brooks had? With the closed eyes and the shake head with him, it's just what you have to do with him. And yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was interviewed. And for some of the listeners who might not know, he actually said that he was happy to be back because everybody deserves a second chance. What the hell does that mean? What does that even mean? You were hurt. It's not
Second chance. Was he talking about Phil?
I don't know.
Almost made me wonder if he was talking about Phil when he said that. I didn't quite get it.
He's just, you're going to be so happy you're in a different continent when it's Bryson and Reed in the final group on Sunday.
Shoot, oh my God. Right?
We'll be watching in a pub in Scotland, my friend.
Oh, you definitely will be. If you did on good time too. That's when you get to watch it in the afternoon. You just brought up a guy too, like Brooks, right? We really can't figure him out, right? I mean, he's
great point.
And the Masters, he missed a cut. I think he will contend this week. You know, I think he will be in the mix.
It wouldn't surprise me.
He hit wins the last time he was in contention of any tournament. He was hurt last week and couldn't play.
Yeah,
he hasn't played well for a while. I don't know why you think he's going to play well.
Honestly, it's just a major thing with him, right? If you look back, he has Masters, you know, excluded. He's competed last year. He was around the mix. He's in the mix.
He missed the cut at Augusta, right?
Yeah, he missed the cut. Yep. And going
back. Yeah, so that'd be the only reason, right? To your point, that would be the only reason that he seems to be and clearly the PGA is an event for him that he does well on. But if you go by in the last 12 months, I don't think there's anything that suggests he's going to contend.
Could we get a contender out of I think they're playing together, the Cam Smith, Hovland, Zalatoris group? Do we like anybody out of those three? I think they're playing together.
Cam Smith, 100%. He's a great putter. He's a great player. He's confident.
He doesn't have a great track record in the PGA Championship, but
true.
Talk about the ball striking in that group. I mean,
right?
There's some iron players there. Wow.
I wouldn't touch Hovland because he can't chip worth a lick.
No, he can't. Once he gets around the green, he's going to be a mess. But I mean, ball striking wise from the fairway, that is a group.
And isn't it just a matter of time before Zalatoris breaks through and wins? It seems to me.
TK, you got any long shots for us?
So I was digging around a little bit. I mean, you just kind of mentioned one who's kind of there with Zalatoris as a long shot. You know, I think if you get up over the plus 5,000, to me, Brooks is 5,500. There's not bad odds there. We're skipping over Tiger a little bit, obviously, but you know, Tiger's coming in at, what's Tiger at? Plus 6,500 to win. If you get down in the top 20, you know, Tiger's plus 550. You know, I like the Koepka, Zalatoris plus 2,800 to win, plus 275 top 20. Schauffele's final round, I know it was a birdie fest at TPC Craig Ranch, but I mean, Schauffele's coming in, playing what? What was the last 26? What was the 26 holes without a bogey?
And what was he on the weekend last week? 65, 61, something like that?
I mean, bananas, right?
banana scores. I mean, imagine Shoffley going back a couple years ago, and we are not talking about him at all. He's plus 2,000.
Yeah. What about Daniel Berger as a long shot?
Yeah, it's plus 6,000.
Good one.
Yeah.
And my dark horse.
Cam Young.
It's hard to call him a dark horse because he's won recently, but I think Max Homa is somebody to watch.
He really is. He's playing really well right now.
And, you know, it's funny. I was going to say he's a great bet because I looked up last night at, you know, top 10, it's 650. Top five is 1,400. Win is 5,000. Then I looked this morning. It's almost – so his top 10 went from 650 to 450. His top five went from 1,400 to 900. So overnight, somebody drank the Homa potion and dropped his odds. But I – you know, that guy's got a complete game. I think he would be a good dark horse.
And his confidence is high right now.
And I think the world in general needs more Max Homas and fewer Patrick Reeds, if I might.
Joel Dahman, you know, those kinds of guys.
Max Homa was out playing a par three in Tulsa last night. Yeah, we need more of him.
I love that guy. You follow him on Twitter. He's
fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked this thing to death. TK, we'll let you go first because we already know who Scott's pick is.
And we know who Matt's pick is.
Well, we can't pick the same person, I thought, right? What if I steal Scotty's guy? I'll go ahead. Scheffler. I'm going Scheffler.
Smart. I'll take another Longhorn. I mean, look, and I think Scheffler could win. If you're going to give me, I get two players, it'd be Scheffler and Spieth. If I could pick two and the winner comes out of the two you pick, it'd be Scheffler and Spieth.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. I guess I'll buck my trend here and I will actually pick Rory. I don't know the last time I picked him when we've been doing these, particularly in a major. You know, like with everything with him, as much as you want to believe that final round at Augusta is going to lead to good things, I feel like it's going to be a letdown again. That's sort of what my gut tells me. But
you know what surprised me, Matty, is that he's top five tee to green and he's 38th putting. To me, that screams that somebody should be winning more when you have those stats. So it's interesting to me that he's top five tee to green and what I say 38th or something putting. I mean, that's.
Well, when you read stuff, and we've talked about it, about how good you need to be with a wedge in your hand at this golf course, and you see him missing the target by 30 yards consistently with a wedge in your hand, it scares the heck out of you, somebody that really wants him to win.
Matty, do you think the Spieth angel is shining down on Scotty right now? Do you think that's
what's
going on?
I wish people could see his screen
Scotty
right now.
Scotty looks like he's got an angel above him shining down. After picking Spieth, it just started to shine around him.
The sunroof, the little light in my office here, it does look a little scary.
TK, give us something to drink that's not $18 a can while we're watching this weekend.
Honestly, this is one of those is bad PR, right? What is bad PR? It's not, right? It's all good. I don't think Ultra Stella Artois Kona could have gotten better PR this week from people posting those. I mean, everyone's going bananas over the pricing and they have no idea that it's the same value you get in any venue. You know,
I would tell you, I played the Pro-Am at Concord on Monday. I was thrilled to see Safe Space on tap. So
there you go.
Oh, yeah, they've always had that. At
on tap? Concord. I thought they had cans. I didn't know they had it on tap. Well,
they've had it on tap for a while. I shouldn't say always. It's been there for a while. At
Concord, it's like one of my favorite things.
There you go. And by the way, the Safe Space tap handle is outstanding.
It is really cool.
That is a very cool and unique tap handle for sure. What am I drinking, Matty? I'm drinking some Ultras this weekend to support the PGA of America and people like you, Matty. Okay, that's what I'm doing.
People
Matty
like McElroy. Me. What does that mean?
Matty sure. McElroy. What does that everyone, mean? Everyone that roots for guys like Rory and is constantly disappointed. I'm rooting for you this weekend.
Hey, at least my disappointment will start early tomorrow. Like I said, they're 9 o'clock or something like that.
So well, anyway. I'll be having a Dornick Ale during the final round, thinking of you boys.
Well, Scott, have a great safe flight over there. Have a great time. We'll be thinking about you. As TK said, really a once in a lifetime thing to go with the family. So have fun. Don't worry. The show will be in good hands while you're overseas.
Thanks, boys. A pleasure.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the golf.
Have a weekend. Stay thirsty.